Thanks, Carrie. Good morning to everybody. I want to wish you all a very, very happy new year if we don't get to see you again before that first day of the new year occurs. We hope that you've had a good holiday time thus far. It's so good to see some of you who are family, who are home with us because of the occasion. And for all of you part of the church here, Kay and I want to express our thanks to you for your kindness and for your acceptance and for your fellowship and support for all of these years now. As you know, through this month of December, we have been introducing to you a theme that we hope will guide us for the next year and two or three years that are ahead of us. We've been pointing out that the Lord gave His church a mission which never changes. It's to make known to the whole world the news of what He has done by the will of God to save us all and to provide life for all of us. He wants us to teach the gospel, to make disciples of anyone who will accept it, to help them become His children, His disciples, and then to teach them while they grow. And we also have been pointing out that while the Lord gave His church a mission that never changes, He also expects each congregation of His people to recognize the opportunities and talents and situation before them and to identify for themselves a vision of how they fit in to that mission. So our elders, our leaders have placed before us the idea of concentrating on welcoming, serving, and growing in Jesus. And it's my privilege today to get to think with you about the growing in Jesus part of this. When we mention growing, it's a confession of something. It's a confession of the fact that we recognize that we have not yet obtained. We're not yet perfect. We want to grow. We want to increase. We want to do better. Our mention of this word also indicates that we believe that whatever is closely and intimately connected with Jesus Christ does grow. He has life in Him, and He blesses us with life, and life grows. And when we mention growing in Jesus, it's also an expression of our desire that that happen among us. We want to be growing in Jesus. So what does growing in Jesus mean? That's a story longer than I'll have time to tell in this one setting. So I want to briefly introduce to us one aspect of what growing in Jesus is all about. Growing in Jesus reminds us that growing and changing are not necessarily the same. Growth is rooted in identity. For example, if you plant a bean, what happens is that a bean plant grows. It doesn't change into something else. It still is the same thing. It just grows and matures over time. Growing in Jesus means growing in the same ways Jesus grew and growing toward the same goal or toward the same light that the Lord was always rising up to or increasing to. Jesus Christ, coming into the world, brought to the world a gift, and that gift is that healthy, balanced growing is possible in all of our lives. And that thought is what I ask you to focus on with me this morning. In Luke chapter 2, I think is a good place to start. This is all the information we have about the childhood of Jesus. What happened between the time when He was born and the time His ministry began when he was a grown man is recorded here. It involves an event that happened when he was 12, in which it became clear that he intended to be about his father's business. That's the goal, or about his father's house. That's the goal that he'll be growing toward. But the only details we have otherwise are that he grew. In verse 40 of this chapter, it simply says, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." Notice the focus on growth there. And then in verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." The first thing that stands out to us is that Jesus experienced growing himself. You look back on your own journey, most of us, and we recognize the different, when we look at our pictures when we were little ones and when we were in our prime and where we are now, and we can see that we grew, that we changed, that we were, that there was always outward growth. The more important kind happens inside us. They're not pictures of it. And yet, we know that if we've been alive, if we've been involved in what God wanted for us, we've been growing gradually, unobserved, all along. That's what living means. With Jesus, there are two different words for growing that are used here in this chapter about him. The one in verse 40 means growth that happens in anything which is alive. It happens just because God put life in a person or in a plant or in a family or in a body, and it grows, it matures, it develops as it goes along. The one in verse 52 means that Jesus advanced, that he progressed, that he proceeded. It's a word that literally means that he cut a way forward, and I envision someone whose lawn has really, really grown up big, and you got your little 19 or 20 inch lawnmower, and you take on the tall grass, and you see that little trail that you've made through it, where you have progressed, where you've advanced, where you've grown. And the idea here is that with life, Jesus increased in that way. That he cut a way forward, that he blazed the trail for us, that he showed us what growing is really about. And he introduced an important spiritual theme as he did it. And these words become really important in the rest of the New Testament. The word grow, or growing, something that happens when you are a branch attached to a vine, and when there is a vine dresser or a caretaker who is God, and he attends to that vine, and if you stay attached to that vine which has life in it, you grow and you bear fruit. The second word that's really important is this, the idea of increasing. Simply, it gets translated by two or three different words in the New Testament, but it simply means a little more. Like that song, "More Holiness Give Me." If you'd go back and read the words to number 434, then you'd see this idea of increasing a little more, gradually over a long time, but increasing as a person, increasing in what God wants us to be and what God made us to be. When Jesus was increasing, he increasingly let people see someone full of grace and truth, someone in whom the glory of God was present, someone who was in God's image. But when Jesus was increasing, he was also always showing us what we were meant to be. Always showing us what a real man, a real human being is supposed to be. And the third word that really is important with this, besides growing and increasing or advancing, is becoming. One time a child asked me, I was visiting somewhere to speak in some kind of a deal, and a child asked me what I was becoming. I've heard that question asked of people who are going to college. What are you majoring in? Someone will say, what are you becoming? That's an interesting question. Jesus Christ gave us an opportunity to grow, increase, and become something. In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, where it makes the point that Jesus came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. It goes ahead to say, but to those who did receive him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Not only the right, as some versions translate, but the power to become. He gave someone who had been God's enemy the power to become God's child. And he gave God's child, who was born as a little baby, into God's family when he obeyed the gospel, an opportunity to become a full-grown man in Christ, to mature, to become mature and fully assured in God's promises, as Colossians 4 and verse 10 says it. So first off, Jesus experienced growing, and he experienced increasing, and he experienced becoming, and in that way, he blazes a trail for us. Jesus, in growing, modeled the kind of growing that he wants to recur in his people's lives. I think it's really important to notice in Luke 2 and verse 52 the four different kinds of increase or advance or growth that occurs in Jesus. I'm pretty sure that when anyone hears a phrase like welcoming, serving, and growing in Jesus, minds go immediately to adding numbers of people. Right? Isn't that what you think of? What we obviously think of? We'd love to see that. We want to see people become God's children. But there's more to growing. And the balanced view of it that occurs in Luke 2 and verse 52 is a good lesson for parents, for teachers, for church leaders, and for individual human beings. Growing, maturing, increasing involves a balance of four different parts of life. First, in wisdom. And I'd say it like this. The kind of growth I'm talking about is growth that way, and where roots are put down, where you become strong and stable. Growing in wisdom is first. It's wisdom in Scripture is putting down roots so that you know how to go about living. You know how to make good choices. You know how to form decent relationships. You know how to function as a capable human being. To grow in wisdom is important for an individual Christian. In James chapter 1, when James is talking about dealing with the various trials and temptations of life, he points out that if we handle these things well, then we become perfect and complete. In other words, mature. But he notices in verse 5 that this will call for wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And in chapter 3, he describes what he means by wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 17, the wisdom that's from above, the kind God gives, in other words, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We want to grow intellectually in that sense. We want to grow in Jesus to the place where we are capable of living and understanding and being persons like that. Growing intellectually is more than your GPA or how many, whether you went to level 12 in school or 16 or a graduate or doctoral. Growing in wisdom is a part of what Jesus wants us to do and what he's modeled for. Second, grow in stature. Some of the versions will translate this in years, and yes, we do hope that. We do hope that experience is something which is gained and which is respected. We recognize in many ways there's no shortcut around time. It takes time. But to grow and mature physically, to grow and mature in strength, I'll illustrate growth in wisdom this way and growth in stature or strength this way. Our little ones will go to the pediatrician for their checkups, and the doctor will give them a good examining and looking over, and then they'll tell us, well, in height, this child is in the 95th percentile. In weight, this child is in the 70th percentile, and so forth. They let us know whether normal development is occurring, whether they are growing as they should. What if God could do that with us as in stature, strength? In our class this morning, Eddie led us in praying that God would strengthen us so that we can handle temptations and so forth in life. That's something the New Testament often urges upon us. If we could grow in stature, we'd be doing what happens in Ephesians chapter 4 when Paul is talking about the body, members of the body of Christ, growing into full-grown men. He says, rather, this is Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Twice Paul mentions growing. Growing up in every way in Him who's the head, growing up, the body being growing so that it builds itself up in love, where every member does what he can. That's growing in stature. That's the kind of growing that we're talking about. And then he mentions favor with God. This is the person's spiritual life. If wisdom is intellectual, if stature is physical, then in favor with God is spiritual. This is the kind of growing here, of course, that informs the other three. God may give us time so that we mature physically. He may give us care so that we develop intellectually. But growing in favor with God is where we relate to Him in a healthy way, in a vital way, in a way that where we're His children, where we draw near to Him, where we increase in our sense of assurance, where our respect for His holiness is more and more the guiding star in our lives. The letter of 2 Peter just ends by saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. When we're raising our children, if they are the smartest kids and the strongest and best athletes and the most popular kid around, and they don't grow in favor with God, they'll be missing the thing that takes away the meaning of the other three. And with the church, this thought is crucial because we could add numbers and numbers of people But if it doesn't involve loyalty to God and faithfulness to what God has done for us and asked of us, then it becomes an empty thing, you see. So we want to grow in favor with God. We want to pray to Him as our Father. We want to imitate His love. We'd like to develop His character in our lives, the same kind of personal qualities that He has from Exodus 34 and verses 6 and 7. If we follow close to Jesus, that will happen in our lives. And then fourth, in favor with man. Here's the social part of this. If we're growing in favor with man, that'd be a picture of us, of course, being deeper friends with each other, understanding what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ a bit more, and engaging in all the one another activities the New Testament holds before us in that way. It also would involve our making friends with people in our community, letting them know that we're here, building bridges with them in whatever ways that we can, so that like the early church, like the church as we read about it in its beginning in Acts chapter 2, we're always praising God and having favor with all the people. And we know that that doesn't always mean popularity and acceptance in the world, but it can at least mean gracious dealings with the people around us. And that's when the kind of growing that we envision is occurring. Just as we would want our little ones to learn to be able to relate to people, to be friends with people, that's what we would like to see happen in our lives as well. So Jesus grew, meaning He advanced, He increased, He became. He grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially, modeling growth for us. How does that happen? He was the Son of God. He grew as a man in a particular way for that reason. In the New Testament, growing like this involves two things. One is being under God's care. Abiding in the vine, to use the imagery of John 15 in verses 1 and following. God is the vine dresser. He is the one who trims and prunes and nourishes and cares for. Our main job is to abide in Christ because we can't do anything by ourselves. John 15 verses 4 and 5. In 1 Corinthians, and really in 2 Corinthians as well, this point is made in a more straightforward way. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 6 and 7, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. In a way, when we're talking about growing in Jesus, we're talking about not what we do, but what God does for us while we lean on Him and submit to His care. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, at verse 10, it seems like this same idea shows up again. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for growing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, it says. So growing happens because God cares for His people and blesses the little steps that they begin to try to take so that they can do more. Growth happens because God is faithful and because God gives to His people. Then growth happens because of our practices. Growth happens because people practice. Like an athlete, for example. Football teams for next fall are being made by what athletes do right now. They practice to develop strength. They practice to develop muscle memory. They practice to be able to function with each other. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, this idea comes up. Paul has mentioned in this chapter as it's unfolded, training oneself for godliness, the end of verse 7, being trained in words of faith and the good doctrine, verse 6, engaging in example, as an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, devoting yourself to public reading of the scripture, to encouraging, to teaching, not neglecting the gift that's in you and so forth. And then he comes to verse 15, he says, practice these things. He doesn't mean practice in the sense that I just described athletes as much as he means make this your habit. Make this the things that you do. Be learning to do these things. Gain experience at them. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. And what's not obvious to us is that he uses a word that's used from Luke 2 about Jesus increasing or advancing. That happens in people who make it their practice to try to walk in his steps. In Hebrews chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, the writer is talking about our responding to what we've heard, or what we know the Lord says. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Growth occurs while we are doing those things, while we make those things our practice, where we take what we know and use our power of discernment to distinguish good from evil. That's the kind of growing that we're talking about. That's the kind of growing that happened in Jesus. So three things: Jesus experienced growing, Jesus modeled growing, and Jesus makes growing possible. That's what I've tried to say to you. So, in the song, Stepping in the Light, in verse 3, it says, walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love, looking to Him, like that tallest little flower there, looking for Him, for the grace freely promised, How happy our journey above. The idea is that by walking in the footsteps of Jesus, we become like Him. We have the opportunity, as He did, to choose what light we grow to. If we grow to the light, which is God, that'll be healthy and it'll bear good fruit. But if the light we grow to is darkness, we ruin ourselves. And bitter fruit come of it. Make a good choice about what light you're growing toward. Give thanks to the Christ who makes it possible to grow toward the real light. And let's do that together in this new year. If you need to make the good confession and to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to see you make that beginning and to assist you in it. If there's some way in which you, as a brother or sister in Christ, need the family here to pray with you, then let us know that today, either of those things, by coming here to the front while we stand and sing.